Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by daytimeconfidential.com. We're back. It's episode 1001. Stay tuned. Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Good morning. I still have a minute to call this afternoon.
Okay.
How are you?
Good. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Good more after. I'll do that for you, Mike. Good more after.
Good How more after. That? Okay. Yeah. Good more after, Joshua Baldwin. Welcome.
Good more after, Lucas.
This sounds like something that we should be saying at Christmas time. I don't know why.
I'm like, Christmas? You're so weird. Okay.
Before we go too far into the episode, I want to take a moment. On the 1,000th episode, there were a number of longtime listeners who I had asked if they wanted to contribute a little shout out. And as I was editing the podcast, it ended up being 6 hours. There was a lot of juggling and getting it all put together. And I got the podcast edited and I got it published and I kept thinking, I am missing somebody. And I thought I'd went through it. And I went through all of my files again and I went through it again. And then I was on Twitter and I looked in my DMs and I was like, that's who was missing. And
oh, girl.
It was Candy from the Forever in a Day podcast, who is a longtime listener. So I'm going to take this moment to include her shout out. And when we return, we'll discuss the latest in soaps.
Hey, Daytime Confidential, happy 1000! Whoop whoop! It's Candace Mack, aka Candy Pool. And my favorite memory of the show was episode 387. It was when you guys were talking about the Gaslight cancellation. It was hard for every Gaslight fan to know that this show, this institution, was canceled. I remember I wanted to listen to what you guys thought about it. As a diehard Gaslight fan, I needed some clarity. I needed some answers. I needed to know, what did you guys think? And I think you guys said it best. And it's sort of current what's going on with the soaps now, the Final Four. Is that we soap fans know what works for the shows and what does not. And I think ever since Gaslight's cancellation, we the soap fans have been really like apparent to these four soaps. We do not want to hear another cancellation. My other favorite memory is the fact that my favorite memory is just listening to all of you guys. Just, it's something about Daytime Confidential is so comforting. You guys are my second family. You guys tell it like it is. And the one thing also you guys said is that your job is to tell the truth. And that's what you guys have been doing for 1,000 episodes. Like, seriously? Oh, hats off. Kudos to you guys. I love you guys. Keep it up. Keep it going. Support this genre. Talk to you later. Bye.
Candy, thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about soaps. Biggest news while we were gone, Days of Our Lives has been renewed for 2 years. Hallelujah. Joshua, yes. What did you yes. think of the news?
Well, this is the longest we've gone. Usually we hear in, sometimes we hear in December, sometimes we hear in January, February, March, but heading into May is like, they're starting to get nervous. Then folks started going back to work because they got to go to work. I was excited. 2 years? They hadn't had a 2-year renewal since 2014. That's mm-hmm. amazing. And these new execs at NBC who are over streaming and I think daytime, they seem to have confidence in Days and they're going to give them some time to not have to look over their shoulder, which is great. I'm just thrilled.
Jillian, what was your reaction?
I thought this was pretty good. You know, as Josh said, they hadn't got a multi-renewal since 2014. It looks like they have faith in Days. I wasn't too worried when you didn't hear anything because I knew the upfronts were coming up. And I'm like, I could see them having Ken and, you know, the big names over at Days. And Ron maybe over there to come to the upfronts and be like, they get a multi-renewal. So I wasn't really too worried. But then when you saw stars going back, the actors going back to work, I'm like, oh, y'all got renewed. And then soon afterwards, you heard the news. So it's pretty good. And, you know, let's just keep it going.
Mike?
I echo. Obviously, it was a little tense for people waiting. There was some speculation that other worse outcomes would be happening, but getting a 2-year renewal, just it feels a little bit more like you can breathe for a minute and just kind of maybe take your time, knowing that you have the time to do it. So I think it's really good news, and I agree with Jillian. I think once they started going back to work, it was kind of like just waiting out on the announcement to see how it was going to go. So I'm very, very happy about it. It's good news for the soap. It's the only soap opera on NBC right now, so they're investing in it, and that's a good thing.
I'm ecstatic for the team at Days of Our Lives, the actors, the writers, the production staff. Days of Our Lives has been a part of our lives for so long that the thought of it not being around is hard to imagine, but we've seen that with other soaps, and so the fact that they have a 2-year renewal will give Ron and company plenty of time to keep us on the edge of our seats. And we'll have some casting that we'll be talking about coming up shortly. But before we get to that, Ellen DeGeneres is ending her daytime talk show after 19 years. In a statement with The Hollywood Reporter, she said that she didn't find it to be a challenge anymore. Obviously, she has an amazing legacy with the talk show, but one does have to sort of wonder how much the behind-the-scenes controversies may or may not have played a factor in it. Jillian, what was your reaction to the news that it will be ending?
Later, Gator. I mean,
okay.
Girl. I mean, her ratings, Ellen needs to just, girl, tell the truth and shame the devil, as they say down south. Am I right, bud?
Okay? You are right.
So, you know, you bullshitting over here, as we say up north. Your ratings, her ratings have tanked ever since this whole situation, the allegations about her took place. That she won't admit it, but that's hurt. I mean, ratings across the board have been down. I will say that. You have to admit that. Ratings across the board have been down. But hers especially, and the allegations, that's turned people off. So it didn't shock me as much. It didn't shock me at all. I thought maybe she would have gone for a round number season 20, her 20th season, and then she said later. But this don't shock me at all. So bye, girl.
She also recently spoke with Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show, and she said that the media attacks on her and the show were misogynistic. And I guess there might be a point there, but at the same time,
no.
I sort of felt like for Ellen, the whole time this controversy, the way that she has dealt with it, for someone who for so many years had flawless PR, I feel like her response in almost every situation has been extreme tone deafness, and it hasn't actually ever truly addressed the issues that were brought up. It was more of, I didn't know what was going on, or it like there was always something that it just came off. The whole thing has come off as tone deaf for me for Ellen, which was super surprising.
She did. Okay, we would need to give her, well, now I'm not giving you your props, girl, but I will just say this. To be fair, she did address it.
Yes.
She has addressed it. You're saying she never really did.
She addressed it, that it came, to me, it came across as tone deaf a lot of times.
She didn't really did. But anyways, it did. Like, Ellen, the excuse she made, I don't believe that it was. It's so funny. You believe that it was misogynistic. I don't. And that's really funny, because you would think, you know, some people would be like, oh, the female thinks so. No, I don't think it was misogynistic at all. I feel as though Ellen's still trying to deflect from what the hell happened at her show. Because in the interview with Savannah Guthrie, she was just like, you know, unless I was living there, I don't know what's going on. I have 250,
right,
over 200. And I was like, girl.
That's why I think it sounds like those are the kind of statements that she's made along this whole way that for me come across as tone deaf.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I agree that the response is odd. And also, anybody who watched that interview with Savannah Guthrie, that was cringeworthy. She was snipping at Savannah Guthrie left and right, so much so that Savannah Guthrie even cringed a couple of times visibly.
Yeah, like, Ellen is full of shit with that. I'm sorry, because when she said that remark about, oh, well, I have 250 and da da da, I'm like, Oprah Winfrey would like to pull you to the side and say, girl, thank bye. You. I've not heard anybody say anything about Oprah. So, girl, stop it.
Y'all remember when, this is going to be political, but when Hillary Clinton took responsibility for Benghazi and Barack Obama said, I appreciate you doing that, but the buck stops here. I'm in charge. Yes. So if I'm in charge, then I am responsible.
It starts at the head. Ellen should say, I was not aware. Like, you know, she tried to clean it up, but the damage was done. She should have said, I was not aware. However, that's no excuse. That, like, she did say, you know, my name is on the show and I should have been. Yeah, you should have not said that whole, unless I was sleeping here, girl, stop, because the staffers have said that they told your ass and you knew. Knock it off. You're still trying to make yourself a victim. And I do not like when you try. I've noticed some people will try to, when they're in the hot seat, they will try to flip the narrative and make themselves a victim. Like, they'll try to say, oh, it's because I'm white, or it's because I'm a female, or it's because I'm black. No, girl, you did what you did. Own up to it. You should have said, I should have been more aware. The buck stops with me. I should have been more aware. It's my show. I should have been more aware. Yes, I have over 250-something staffers, but I should have been made aware. The end. That's all you had to do. She still made it. I was like, girl.
And if she had done what you just suggested, this would have been over a long time ago, and the ratings wouldn't have tanked. Any other thoughts, Josh, before we move on to the latest casting news?
Y'all should go to the site and check out Jillian's article about Dakota Johnson. Because that article on Was Dakota Johnson the Beginning of the End for Ellen? If y'all don't remember that interview, need to go check it out. Check out the article, because that interview is cringy.
That interview is cringy. Woo! And then, like, Ellen has done some real cringy stuff. Like, when Mariah Carey was pregnant, I don't think it was when she was pregnant with them babies. That's what she calls her kids. She calls them babies. She's so funny. When Mariah, I don't know if she had a miscarriage after that or she was pregnant with her kids. Ellen was trying to find out if Mariah was pregnant, and Mariah was not here. Like, Mariah ain't gonna tell Ellen. That ain't her good girl. You ain't her good Judy. Ellen tried to make her drink champagne to prove that she was pregnant. Lord. Ellen is a little, like, girl, like, on camera and off, there's not been good things said about Ellen. Like, it's ain't a bash Ellen day, but my thing is, when in that interview, Ellen had a chance to, like, you know, clean up her act, so to speak, and say, I should have been more aware. We should, you know, we say we have an open door policy. I should have stuck by that and blah, blah, blah. When she tried to, you know, it's the attacks against me in the media are misogynistic. You don't like that people called you out. The former staffer said that you weren't shit. You ain't shit. And you're going to be shit. That's just how it works. If you're not a good person, they're going to call you out, sis. It's because you're a female. No, I didn't even see anybody in the headlines when she talked about that. I had to go back and I'm like, did they say anything derogatory about her being a female? Like, you know, she's a hot-headed female, or she, you know, that's how women are temperamental. And I'm like, no, they called your ass out and you didn't like it.
Let's talk about some casting news. This comes from Days of Our Lives. Robert Scott Wilson has extended his contract, and Jack A. Harry has been bumped up from recurring to a regular with a contract. How excited, Mike, are you that Jack A. is going to be a permanent fixture on the Salem canvas?
I think it's great news, and it happened very quickly. That means she's going to stick around. It means Days is starting to think, we've got a couple years now. We got to start putting people back on. We know there was a big problem last year. Maybe it was more than a year ago. Now it's been
about 2 years
since November. Yeah.
Basically ever since Victoria Konofal started looking at possibly leaving, Camilla Banas, and then you had Christian Alfonso leaving, that whole era was sort of the last 12 to 18 months.
go back,
definitely
Mike.
Encouraging that they are starting to put people back on contract. I love that they're going to keep Jack A around. I think she's a great addition to the soap. I find it interesting about Robert Scott Wilson, not because I dislike him, but it's just like one of the first people. They need to anchor him somehow because his whole storyline of late has been, you know, just kind of whining and complaining about Sierra. So if he's going to stick around, which I'm kind of interested in, then they got to pick a direction for him, which I'm sure is on the docket. So I'm kind of excited to see what direction they can turn Ben into outside of his existence with Sierra.
Can he exist outside of Sierra? That is the question. Jillian, what did you think of the casting news?
I like it. The Jack A is a very, 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 very high in demand lady in Hollywood. So I think it's great. I think it's great. She's been on a PR tour with being on Days, help promoting it. I'm like, y'all need to get her out there more with the PR, child. Like, Jack A is like a PR horse with that. I'm excited, especially when you had Chanel Ali. I'm like, oh, this sets up so much good drama. This sets up so much good drama. What will Samantha Jean think about her child and Jack A's child together? Is she going to get buck? I'm like, you know, Sammy likes to get buck on people. I'm like, are you going to get buck on her? I'm like, Sammy ain't never get told by a sister like before. So I'm like, girl, behave. Oh, I just can't wait. I can't wait. I love it.
Josh?
I'm thrilled. I'm with Jillian and Michael on this, but because Jack A is gold because she puts herself out on social media. She is in the final season of Pose. The Variety and Deadline, when they wrote about Day's renewal, I know that I did find it interesting that Robert Scott Wilson was in that same sentence, but Jack A was the draw. It's like, look, she's on the show. She's a main character. This was not just a hit or miss. This is not just a stunt cast.
No.
She is already, her place in Salem is secure. And even this last week, I enjoyed the fact that they took the time to film that phone call with Abe and Lonnie so that you actually knew she was still around. That they used her well, knowing she would be off canvas for a little while, that they made sure she wasn't really off canvas, that they filmed those phone calls, and she is up to some no good when she's out of town. And I can't wait to see what happens when she gets back. And you're right. Sammy versus Paulina could be.
Yeah.
That could be amazing.
And she's on some other Jamie. She's on, like, she appears on a Jamie Foxx show, You're Embarrassing Me or something on Netflix. Yeah. I told you, she's all over the place, honey. So Days is smart because while she's doing promo for them, for other shows, she can subtly promo herself. And, like, you know, with the Black blogs, I should say, they have been like, you seen Jack Hay on there? And they also have been lusting after Lamone Archie. And I've seen, it's positive comments. They're like, oh, I got to tune in to see my auntie Jack Hay. And then they're also like, I have not been watching Days, but I will for Jack Hay and the hot guy, meaning Lamone Archie. I'm like, y'all better do what y'all gotta do now.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about, these are not quote-unquote black storylines. These are storylines with people. And some of them happen to be black, some happen to be white, some happen to be brown. It's great. This is how it should be written.
So let's talk a little bit about the storylines on the four soaps. Because of the 1,000th episode, we haven't really discussed actual on-screen storylines. So I'm just sort of curious what each of you enjoyed or what is standing out, good or bad, on each of the soaps for you while we were gone. Josh, what stood out for you at The Bold and the Beautiful?
Carter and Quinn.
Tell it.
Carter and Quinn standing out, laying down up against a wall. It's all good. That's a good storyline. They're hot together. It makes sense to me. I wished they had let it play a little longer before they got other folks involved because I would have liked to have seen more of that. But I love this. I love that Carter is suddenly conflicted because not about the sex so much, but about this woman he always thought was bad. Maybe she's not so bad. And that Quinn is confiding in Shauna and Shauna stepping in and Block and Zoe. It's good. It's good. It's the best thing they've had on Bold and the Beautiful in a very long time.
And how long's it been since there's been a full blown affair on a soap? Honestly,
oh my
it's been
God.
A long time.
No kidding.
Let me tell you something, honey child. When Brad has mastered, B&B has mastered with spoilers. They will tell you one
Agreed.
Thing and it's something else, because in those damn spoilers for Spring, Brad said she would be tempted. When I saw her and Carter, I said, this ain't no temptation.
She saw that fruit and went beyond temptation.
That's what I'm
she
saying.
Ate it.
I said, "Which child?" It was hot. It was sexy. I love the fact that Carter can't stand and sit on a pedestal and look down at people. You really can't, because you are stooping your boss's wife. You are stooping your best friend's father's wife. They keep hammering. I'm like, I wish she would stop hammering that home.
I really wish they would too.
Well, we get it that Carter is like, you know, an honorary forester that just happened like 20 minutes ago. We get it. But I love it. And, you know, when they're just like, we can't. And then just bam, I'm like, it's fire. And I do wonder how this is going to play out, because Bold hasn't said whether or not they're going to recast Zoe. But we all know Kiara Barnes, she wraps up her stint
Bad
in
girl.
July. So, Joshua.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You mean I have to listen to her whining for another 2 months?
Stop it.
This is the character, not the actress. It's the character.
No.
It's but I also love Shauna taking one for the team. When Zoe was like, "Where about that jacket? Is it you?" And she was like, "It was me." And
it's none of your business.
Yes, I love that. You know, Zoe has audacity. I'm like, girl, you got some caucasity in you. Mm-hmm. I just like, when she was just like, tell me, when she was trying to demand, and Shauna was like, "We don't owe you nothing, girl." I'm like, tell it. You tried to mess with someone he thought was a friend while you were still engaged. He is not engaged. I'm like, he's not with anybody. So go on about your business. I loved it. I love the fact that Shauna is Quinn's ride or die. I'm like, Shauna's like, bitch, you owe me, but you ain't gonna mess up your marriage now. You gotta secure the bag with Eric. Like, don't mess up your marriage. I have enjoyed this, and I have enjoyed not seeing Liam whine. And, oh my lord.
Yeah. Him I don't and, kill Vinny.
I don't. Okay, yes, you ran Vinny over, so buck up.
He coming back next week for the
Mike, what stood out for you at the Bold and the Beautiful while we were gone?
Oh, totally the Quinn and Carter thing. That not only caught me off guard, but I thought that those two are fire. And the thing that is dragging down is just Zoe going to everybody, asking them to go to bat for her.
I thought that was so wild.
It was annoying to me. And what I also find annoying is Brooke's incessant whining about Quinn. It's almost like we know they're having an affair. Just let them have the affair. Let us watch it play out. We don't have to have the whole, you know, echoing of how horrible everybody is. And, you know, that whole scene when, first of all, Zoe walking into his place. I'm not sure anybody in Los Angeles would ever have an unlocked door, but that's a whole other story.
No.
Oh, did she have a key?
I'm gonna stop you right. Yes, she had
okay,
a key.
Okay. I didn't see
right
that.
There.
I was watching it, but I missed that bit.
This ain't direct deposit.
This ain't direct deposit. Got it.
No, it's not.
She expects a single man that looks like Carter to not be sleeping around with other people.
Come on, Mike.
Come on now.
Come on. I'm like, he needed to be up on somebody real quick. Like, this is my thing with the Brooke situation. I don't have a problem with that, because Quinn set out to destroy her marriage. And they keep forgetting Quinn also set out to destroy Bill and Katie. They keep forgetting that part. You know, if you're going to go there, go there. And so I have no problem with that. The part that I had a problem with is Zoe going to Eric and Ridge and Brooke to say, vouch for her. I'm like, girl, this is so cringeworthy.
Yeah,
when
it
Eric
was.
I like that Eric was like, this is not appropriate. I'm like, please tell it again, because this is not. Then when they hear the part that I was like, okay, y'all are like some gossiping hands. When they were like, Carter's with somebody? Who is it? I wonder. I'm like, this is, I get what y'all are trying to do. Y'all trying to umbrella it, but this is not the way, honey. I'm like, y'all are, I'm like, when did, when did they all become Gladys Kravitz, Pearl Shay, and Nikki Parker? Y'all just gossiping like some hens.
That family and Forrester Creations has been gossiping about and talking about everybody else ad nauseum's relationship forever. So it's very in character for them.
No, it's not. No, it is not. You're a newbie.
Well, the
show.
Funny thing is that
Donna and Pam would do that.
Thank you. Not Brooke. Brooke don't give a damn.
Brooke has been talking about Steffi's stuff for ages.
That is Steffi.
That's about her child.
That's about her child. Brooke would not give two shits about who Carter is stupping.
Yeah, well, I also think that Brooke is maybe more of an action person rather than a talk person. We know that she doesn't like Quinn, but, you know, I also know that Brooke has it in her to fight somebody like Quinn. So it's that whole I want to watch it rather than hear about it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Josh, one of the things that before the podcast we touched on when we were doing some audio testing was The Young and the Restless. And Joseph. I think that you, not to misquote you, but when...
Which he does.
Which I will probably do. Mm-hmm. But I think your description of The Young and the Restless pretty much went like this. When the stove isn't working, when the plumbing is out, when the sewer is flooded, and the house is burning down, you try to cook a filet mignon with a noir episode.
Okay, no. Let Josh say what he said, because no.
You were pretty close.
It was pretty close because the
noir episode came on, the Adam stuff came on, and all I thought was, the pipes is leaking, the food is getting warm because the refrigerator coolant ain't working, and you're trying to cook a filet mignon in here. Fix the pipes. Stop it. To me, those types of episodes are what you do when everything's working and you want to do a little extra. Everything's not working. It was better this last couple of weeks. There are some better parts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Go ahead.
But that episode was boring and nothing. But Adam, it was like nothing but a black and white version of Adam. Oh, my God. It's enough. There's good stuff, though. That's other good stuff happening on that show. It's just that's not how I want to spend my time.
I feel as though they're trying to, I said once again, like, you know, how Luke kvetches and bitches and moans and groans that you just need to put him out to pasture sometimes about Franco. I feel like they're trying to do this with Adam. They're trying to reinvent Adam to make him more viable. I'm like, ain't nothing... There's nothing wrong with Adam being a bad boy, but I enjoyed seeing him and Nick finally having it out. But them trying to be brothers after all the shit that Adam has done, I don't know. And, you know, it harkens back to, I feel as though they're trying to go back to Adam. Remember when, I feel like they're trying to change Adam into Justin Hartley's Adam.
Oh no, that was not a good Adam.
I didn't know. I actually liked that.
That depends. Yes, I did. I did not like Justin Hartley's introduction as Adam. No. But once he was on the canvas and we were beyond the introduction, I enjoyed Justin Hartley's Adam.
Cyber high five, Kerr. I enjoyed it because I like the fact that Adam came back and he's told Victor, two tears in a bucket, you know what to do with it. He didn't care about his family. He did not care. Like, he was not hung up on Sharon. He was all about getting his life together, and he didn't care about Victor, and he slowly integrated with the Newman family. And I like that. I actually enjoyed that. And y'all remember, you know, our homie Joseph Cap. She's over at the Rap now again. Shout out to Joseph. We have a little, you know, we have a little dalliance. We have a little conference about soap sometimes. And Joseph was like, at first I was like, no. But then I'm like, I get it. Joseph was like, he liked what was going on with Adam and Nick. He was like, it's kind of like Bobby and JR on Dallas. I'm just like, that's true. And I'm just like, well, JR ain't never sold none of Bobby. And I'm like, I got to go think back. I'm like, JR ain't never swapped none of Bobby's kid. And I'm like, I got to go think back because you never know with JR. But I get what he means by that. I just like them trying to like make Adam and Nick besties. They need to stop with that. Like, I can see them having a truce and being cordial and civil, but them trying to be brothers, like how Victor is forcing it. I'm like, meanwhile, you want Nick and Adam to be brothers, but meanwhile, on the other side of town, Adam and Victoria are about to go, like, they were going to war. So what the hell are you doing? Like, I see what they're trying to do with Adam. I also see that I said, okay, so this is Mark Grossman's Emmy reel. We get it. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm like, that cat has a lot of things. That special episode.
He don't need anything else.
No, he did not need that. I see, like, they're trying to make Adam not the pariah, so to speak. And I'm just like, ain't nothing wrong with you, you know?
Here's my thing, and this sort of goes for all of the soaps.
What?
Whatever happened to embracing a soap archetype?
There you go.
So many of these soaps are watering down their archetypes.
They don't need
And it's across the board. It's not just a Young and the Restless. There is the General Hospital is doing it. Days of Our Lives is sometimes doing it.
How's GH doing it? With who?
I think that when it comes to, well, and we can get to this later, there are characters on that show that could be like strong good girls or bad girls or good guys or bad guys. And they're trying to make them all like relatable, or you want to like feel sympathy for them. Nobody whatever happened to having characters that you're hate watching because they're just bad people. Right. But they're trying in many different forms to redeem Peter the same way they tried, in my opinion,
They did try.
Oh, but he meant now, because I'm like, they ain't doing that now.
But all of the shows seem to go through these stages where they have these characters, and they, rather than let them embrace the archetype and write balls to the wall storylines in which they do things that soap archetypes should do, they water them down by trying to make them more acceptable. And that's not what you want in soaps. And that's what I like. Adam at his core is a bad character who has a chip on his shoulder for not being love the way that Nick and Victoria are. Just embrace it. Don't try and make him relatable.
I agree with that. I agree with that thought process completely, because I feel like there were the times when there was the James Stenbecks and the Roger Thorpes that were so horrible, but we loved to watch them. And because they would write a character that was so bad, but you would always have to find some redeemable thing about them that you could relate to. But now it has to be kind of watered down and in your face, because I feel like a lot of times as a viewer, we're not allowed to have, we're not allowed to dislike a Ben character on Days. We're not allowed to like a Franco, but the thing is there's a reason why Ben is the way he is. And if you dig down and you can find a little sympathy for the way his father abused him when he was a kid, and now you understand why he's the way he is, but he doesn't have to be fully reformed into this person
who falls
in love with Sierra, who is the daughter of the two super cops of the show.
Because they give us a nugget to make us understand the character doesn't mean we need to empathize with the character. With they can still keep it close to its archetype.
They should
I'm sorry, one more thing, Jillian, and then I'll let you.
Go.
So the one other thing that I find is that characters don't seem to have a shelf life, so to speak, and there were times when you would have a bad character and then the outcome was that they would either die or go to prison. In the prison, would also give you the opportunity to bring somebody back. They don't do that anymore. Now they spend a lot of time rewriting history so that we can just have this redemption arc. This whole thing with Adam having to give up a kidney is the same thing that Flogan had to give up a kidney to make themselves look better to people around them. And that's not really necessary. I mean, you're allowed to have a bad guy. That's the whole point of a soap opera, is to have this conflict of evil and good and yada, yada, yada. So
yeah,
that's...
I mean, I just find it funny because when they did that with Franco, Lucas Lorenzo Kerr crowed like a chicken hawk, but I get what you're
well,
saying.
Well, no, they tried. They tried redeeming Franco multiple times. It would have been
when
better to just keep
bad
him bad.
Boy, you had no. You are not here for it. So GH said, "We tried, bitch, but you just kept on and on until the break dawn."
No,
so but
you
I
can go
get
back
it,
on this
I
podcast. I complained about them trying to whitewash his crimes.
Right,
you
with the brain tumor.
That's, right, but before we go on to the next soap, I want to get Jillian. I want to get Jillian and Mike's. What stood out for you, Jillian, on The Young and the Restless?
What stood out for me? I see what they're trying to do with Adam. I'm like, if y'all are doing it back to the Justin Hartley thing where he's just like two tears in a bucket with Victor, fine. You know, I just hate that everybody just wants to fall on their sword for daddy's love. I'm like, you don't have to really do that, but whatever. I like the fact that we're starting to learn more and more about, I'm about to call her Hillary, she should really be, yeah. Amanda's family. It seems like they have some serious skeletons in that closet. Carla Moseley, I'm like, damn it, why didn't y'all hire us someone
Thank
else?
Because
she is crushing it.
Yes.
And the other day, she got the last word against Eric Braden. You know that's very rare. You know that never happens. You know that never happens. You know I love Eric, but that don't really happen. Like, she and Victor were doing that cat and mouse game about what's going on. And so Victor, like when she's walking, he's like, you have a nice day. She goes, you too. I said, oh, you got the last word against EB. I'm like, he must really like you then. Because that don't never happen, child.
Nope.
She's doing such a great job. I'm just like, oh, somebody hire her. Damn it.
Mike, what did you think or what stood out for you at The Young and the Restless while we were off?
I guess I liked little things. It always comes down to what I think Josh would say is scenes more than storylines. I liked Sharon and Nikki and Phyllis. I thought Nikki's presence was very well thought through all of the things. She was like that ever-present person that was always there. And I always kind of like felt like the family support for Faith. I'm kind of done with the transplant stories. I don't know how many body parts we can keep exchanging between characters on different shows. I feel like...
Well, shit, she ain't Katie Logan, boy. This is just the first transplant that she had. Calm down.
Between hearts, kidneys, and livers, I pretty much think everybody's carrying around a piece
this
of somebody else.
This is only
else.
Her first one. This is
I'm talking about on soaps in general.
Oh, knock it off, Mike.
Anyway, I would have liked to have seen Faith's story play out with her struggle to become more normal, so to speak, rather than just have her hit the skids and get a new kidney. But anyway, I don't know. I like Victor and Chelsea conspiring to keep her out of prison.
Yes, I did like that
because we all know Missy Claire can play crazy, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So yeah. I think this is a good way, and I also know that she's probably going to be gone for a bit on maternity, so this is a good way to kind of rest the character for a bit.
Ray knows some bullshit is going on. I like that they're not writing Ray stupid.
Right.
I like the fact that Ray is not, you know, when Sharon is begging, you know, any other man would have fallen on their sword and be like, okay. Ray's like, no, bitch, you need to stop with this Adam addiction. I'm damn tired of it. I love that. I actually love that.
The one thing I don't like is that everything is Adam's fault. That special episode looked very pretty. But having Adam have to sit there and have everybody come to him and tell him all the horrible things that he's done, when Chloe was done horrible things, when Billy has become to me...
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I love Billy. I used to love Billy Abbott, but Billy Abbott is insufferable to me now. I can't. I mean, they've ruined that character for me. And I'm not. This ain't about Jason Thompson. I used to like Billy. Billy had like a softer, warmer side to him that I don't see anymore.
Josh?
just really fast. I loved, and I know Michael just said this, but I loved how it looked like Victor had set Chelsea up and that she played it brilliantly. They were shooting her up with those drugs, and then everybody left. Victor walked back in and Chelsea got up and smiled. And it was like, it wasn't that easy. That wasn't that easy. And Chelsea was like, we're not partners. And Victor's like, yeah, okay, whatever, it's done. And it was a boss move. I get so bored with Young and the Restless because a lot of times there's nothing happening. Something happened and it was good. And that is what Victor Newman does.
I did think that at one point. I thought Victor did do something to that girl. I was like, oh shit. But yeah, it was a fake out.
It was a boss move.
You know who's doing a lot of stuff to a lot of people? Kristen. In Salem.
There he go.
She's got as many masks as people have body parts on The Bold and the Beautiful and The Young and the Restless. What did you guys think of Days? What stood out for you, Jillian?
Well, you know, I was loving the Chanel and Allie thing. I told people online, I said, she is having a hot girl summer, honey. I love it. I love the fact that she is like, I'm fluid. I was like, ooh, I'm loving this. I'm loving it. I'm like, I love the fact that she is a socialite, that the sister is a socialite who is like, I'm fluid. Ain't nobody tying me down. And what? I love it because I'm like, we are so not a monolith. I'm like, I'm so glad we're not preaching against someone. We're not crack whores. We're not streetwalkers. I'm like, she is a socialite, scheming socialite that just wants to have fun. For her trying to set her mama up to paying Xander off, I was like, girl, you were so close until you got your mouth wrote a check that your ass couldn't cash. When Paulina was like, wait a minute, you planned? I loved it. I love the fact that she and Allie have this connection. We're starting to see more of what happened to Allie. I have been crowing about this for, a year or two now? This has been my direct deposit. We need to know more about what happened with Allie out in them Europe streets. I love that. I also love the fact that Sammy is, like, trying to, like, Lucas seems like he has caught some feelings for Samantha Jean, and she's just like, ugh. She is just like, ugh, you were just an itch to scratch, honey. Like, I still love EJ. Like, and Lucas is just like, say what? I love that.
These EJ mentions just have me like doing heart eye emojis.
I know, because I'm like, he coming, you.
He's coming. Yes, he is.
I just want to know, like, we all know EJ is a Damara through and through. I wonder if EJ is going to take, is he going to let Sammy take, he's going to be like, okay, Sammy, or is he going to pay her back tenfold like she did him when he cheated on her with Abigail? I'm like, you know, Sammy got her pound of flesh. Is EJ going to pay her back like that? I'm just like wondering about that. I like the fact that Brady finally got a clue. I'm like, God, you have been in more accidents. Your brain should be like Swiss cheese right about now.
he's basically John Black in terms of like John Black's had his brain wiped how many times? I mean,
but John's sorry, grows that was a back. Joke. He's still smart.
Right, yeah, right.
Still smart. I'm like, I'm
well, but the thing is Brady doesn't have a brain to grow back. That's the problem.
True. And one of so these pretty. Accidents makes him smarter. Nicole going back to being a hoe. I'm like, girl, they're going to need to bring Eric back on to like, or just have Eric write her a note and say, girl, I'm done. Because I'm like, this whole back and forth. Oh, Nicole and Sammy being the one to figure out that Nicole, when, you know, Lucas is like, they could have been having a conversation. Sammy knows Nicole like the back of her ass. Yep. She know that Nicole screwed Xander. And then when Lucas was like, well, your brother did leave her. And she's like, wait a minute, bitch. Like, you defending this shit? Even though Sammy has cheated and she has no room to talk, it's the fact that it's Xander. Because I'm like,
well,
hello.
Here's the thing about that, though. Eric doesn't technically have to come back because Sammy is there to defend her brother. But what's ironic about that is...
He could write a note. I said he could also write a note and this can be over.
What I would like to point out, though, is by having Sammy there defending her brother like she will always go to bat for Eric is the exact opposite of what Eric did for her when she came back for his wedding. He threw her under the bus. So the fact that Sammy will defend Eric regardless, and Eric isn't willing to do the same, is a great twist on their relationship, and it allows for him not to be in town. It allows for him to not be in town because Sammy can do all of the vengeance.
Well,
quote-unquote.
I'm not saying that Eric... Well, I never said Eric should do the vengeance. That's my thing. I said they need to end this Eric and Nicole thing with this whole he's staying... I'm like, I'm tired of you white people going to Africa. Leave them alone. Seriously. Why couldn't he be in Hoboken? Stop it. I know that Ron inherited it, but stop it. I said that Eric can write a note. The fact that Sammy... I'm like... Sammy is also hates Nicole with the fire of a thousand suns. So even if it was somebody else, you know, that Nicole was hoeing with, Sammy would still air her out. It's just the fact that she's sleeping with someone who tried to kill their brother. People forget that part, that homeboy was shooting. He wasn't meaning for Marlena. He was actually aiming for Eric. And he got away with it. Sammy, yep. Don't forget. Everybody else has, but she hasn't. And I like that thread way right there. And Gabby and Jacob back together. I was liking her with Philip. I think they should keep that thread
that's
way
a
going.
Good, that's a good... That is a soap magazine triangle right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Mike, for me, one of the things that stood out was Chloe's pure indignation. She was like, I know you guys are lying to me. I don't know why you're lying to me, but you are, and I'm not having any of it. For me, that was a great highlight of the week. But what stood out for you, Mike?
What stood out for me basically is I realized that there is a cross character thing happening a lot. Like Jan ran into Bonnie. And then they shared some history stuff together. Allie and Chanel know each other. Claire and Xander, drunk Xander. I love drunk, horny Xander.
So it's not as siloed as it has been in recent 6 months.
It's not as what? No, the only thing that I don't like is the Kristen stuff, the mask thing. It's the only thing that I don't like. It's way too much.
How is she all these people's height? And how are you also, you have the strength of like 10 friggin' Horton boys. I'm like, how are you able to drag all them down them steps?
She got like Moira's wig collection. She got a mask all around her mirror. She just picks one up.
You get a mask and you get a mask and you get a mask. It's almost like it's General Hospital.
You know, I got to tell you, Stacey Hyduke is the champ. It freaks me out when she looks like Susan and talks like Kristen and the other way around. That's how good she is. So I can't complain about Stacey Hyduke at all. But
Josh?
The Kristen thing, they need to rest Kristen. And I love the Abigail and Gwen thing. I love that. That was good too. Because you know what? This is exactly what I was talking about. We've talked about this before. They have not dumbed down Gwen or Abigail. You get to dislike and like both for different reasons, and that's okay. So you can watch Abigail and not like her or root for her because nobody is standing up for her.
She's still
against
having
her sister.
Indignation, making it all about her. And I'm like, that's why I don't feel bad for her. I know Gwen's setting your ass up, but I don't feel bad for you, bitch.
No, I think it's brilliant. Mm-mm. I like it.
Josh, what stood out for you at
Days? A few things. I agree about the mask stuff. It needs to go away. But I did like the scene between Kristen, dressed as Susan, and Sammy, when Sammy's like, you put Kate in a duffel bag. And they started laughing. And then Sammy's like, I can't tell you. You know, I kind of like Kate. She's my baby's grandma. I just got tickled at that whole scene. I thought that was good. But the Abigail and Gwen stuff is really one of my favorite things that's happening. I love that they brought in Michael Lowry, who is going to be around for a while.
Who is Opal's son, according to Luke Kerr back in the day.
I like that they brought this doctor in. He's a familiar face to soap viewers, and that he knew that Gwen had lost the baby. Then Gwen, who is being genuine, was upset, and Abigail would not let her off. And then finally, I loved when Gwen hauled off and knocked the shit out of her. And then they go to the stairs. And even though Abigail didn't push her, the thing is, and I liked how Chad addressed it. He said, but you are arguing physically with a woman who's pregnant. at the top of a set of stairs. Why would you do that?
Because she is a batshit crazy character. That's why.
Of course. But
Roberta.
I loved when Gwen doubled down and said, "You did this. Mm-hmm. You killed our baby."
You have to take, when you're a bad girl like Gwen, you have to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. Otherwise, you're not a good bad girl on set.
Oh, I didn't mind that at all. I smelt that coming a mile away, and I was like, yes, you're doing Jesus.
Right. This is why Days of Our Lives of the four soaps is the one that is best for writing towards its archetypes.
Hospital, that girl before we, you know, because I, you know, he is just on it to Rapchow. But I like
we haven't talked about General Hospital. I'm trying to get to General Hospital.
That's what I mean. I like the fact that even, you know, you would think Abigail would be a little, you know, she knows she didn't do anything, but you would still think she would have a little bit more of humility. In that hospital, she is like, Dad, you know I wouldn't do this. So if you choose Gwen's side, and I'm just like, this ain't the time. I wanted someone to really yell at her and say, you were like, it should have been, it ain't going to be her daddy or Chad, but some one of them should have said, you're making this all about you, or somebody from the outside, not Gabby, but someone else should have said, this woman is going, yes, Gwen put you through hell, but it's not about you today, darling. Like, humble yourself. Like,
I totally think
after the frenemy thing, Gabby could be that person to say that to her.
They've established Claire as a friend, though, and I think that Claire could have been that person, because Claire has been bowing up a bit recently, and I think it would have been interesting because Claire and Gwen do have a connection.
Yeah. There were some interesting things for me on General Hospital this last week that stood out, or while we were gone. The first thing is probably going to be the negative part, and so I'll address it and then go on.
Yeah, you go.
This Sunny storyline, I really need it to wrap up. I never thought I would want, like, you don't want a mob story, but
hold on, you don't.
With Sunny, it's one of those things where it's like Sunny generally gets mob stories, or he gets depression storylines, or some like acting out storylines, and so this isn't either of those, and I appreciate the fact that the show tried to do something different with him, but this has gone on way too long. So for me, that was sort of the down part, but there was a lot of positives about General Hospital this last week. Everybody knows I don't like Peter, but I like this concept of him getting the nurse in to spy on Maxie, to be helping Maxie. I like that. I thought that Trina's conversation with Cameron was probably the best moment in soaps this last week, because the fact that she was like, you were a white boy who held a gun on a cop and you weren't shot, and I'm scared of when a car is pulled over. I thought that that was really well done. And then at the same time, you have her mother talking with Jordan about how their lives have impacted and the disparity. I thought that both of those were done really well. My only caveat on that is, rather than it sort of both of them being in the same episode, so it sort of feels like a special topic episode,
yes,
I would prefer that these conversations and that the black characters in Port Charles just call out these inequities in normal conversation going forward, rather than it feel like a special episode. But I thought that the conversations that were done were fantastic. Alexis in jail, I am really enjoying that.
They got a co-ed jail, child.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? I'm like, when did they do this at Sing Sing and Rikers?
Well, If Days of Our Lives could have a co-ed jail, why can't Port Charles? I'm really enjoying the Alexis in prison element.
Days have a co-ed jail. Shut up.
You have Rolf using the exact same waiting room as
that's
Vivian and Kristen.
That is different, sir. That is nothing the same. How the hell Sean and Alexis chilling together and they both jailbirds? Shut up.
It's in the library.
No.
So for me, those were all highlights. Also,
Britt and Jason, I need so much more of them. Dante and Brooklyn, I love their dynamic as sort of siblings, but also I sort of want them together. So for me, there was a lot of positives on General Hospital this last week. Josh, what stood out for you?
Really? Get out of here.
Let me echo what you said about Cameron and Trina in particular, but a different side to that. I thought the more powerful side to that conversation is when she was recounting when she and Jocelyn and Cameron were pulled over.
Right.
And when Cameron and Jocelyn were laughing about it later and she couldn't stop shaking, but she swallowed it because that's what she does. And I thought that was powerful. And it was real. You could see this was, yes, it's acting, but it's not acting. It was so good. Sydney Michaela is just gold. As is William Lipton, but Sydney Michaela is gold.
Though William Lipton
with those facial expressions, sir.
William Lipton was nominated for an Emmy a couple years ago, he definitely deserved it because it was good scenery chewing. I will only say that in this last 6 months, 6 to 9 months, there has been a lot of bad scenery chewing.
I don't disagree with you about that.
Let him finish, though, because, that baby need to work on them facial expressions. Go ahead.
The co-ed prison thing I immediately said, I was like, "Woo, what is this? They would never be allowed in those rooms together."
No.
But I do like Alexis's jailhouse lawyer. I like the conversations, as ridiculous as it is. I am also done with low rent Paris, Texas. I just can't with it. Although I do. And I think that Nina and quote unquote Mike's interactions are good. I just don't care. And I also don't understand. I don't believe that Nina, who was so wanting to be around her grandchild, would just abandon it.
Yes.
I don't believe that. I also, I think Carly being a badass bitch is awesome. I am not a big fan of Carly normally, but when she got to take control and she sat, even after she walked in the room, but the more important thing to me was when everybody was gone and she sat down at that table and kind of just took a breath. I was like, all right, I could get behind this Carly. If Carly's going to own her shit and be a badass, I'm down. I'm down with it. So, I was pretty happy with General Hospital these last couple of weeks. Peter can go on home to rest.
The one thing about Carly that I thought was interesting was her conversation with Sam when she said, Sam, you wanted out. You are out. You're not involved. I thought that was a great conversation just from their history standpoint. Jillian, what stood out for you on General Hospital while we were gone?
Okay, so let me talk about the positives. Carly taking over that mob meeting. I said, bitch, you better tell it like a T.I. is. My only critique with that was, you have on kitten heels, sweetie, or Patty Melon. Don't like them. I was like, you should have had some Lubus on, but whatever. I said, budgets is budgets. I loved it when Cyrus tried to do the man thing. She's irrational and erratic. He actually proved that he was the opposite, that it was the other way around. She was cool, calm, and collected like a cucumber and was just like, look at you. I love the fact she didn't even say, well, look at you, but she was just proving her point that she can take on the business and he is acting irrational. And when she sent a message by blowing up one of his shipments, I loved it. I love the fact that they also had the other lady in there as a lady boss. I'm like, thank you. I don't know if she's connected to Brad or not. I'm like, they should do that, but that's just me. That can redeem Brad in a way if, you know, the Asian Quarter Massive is able to help Sonny when he comes back to take Cyrus out. But anyways, that's just me.
Imagine Lucas?
Yes.
Out that Carly was friends with Brad after what he did to their...
Hot. So that would be good if we ever see Lucas, but that would be good. I like that Carly told Sam, like, Sam, you can't have it both ways. You can't want to help Jason, but then snitch about him to the cops and work with the cops. You're either in or you're out. Like, and I hope when Sonny and Jason come back, Carly can never, ever, 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 ever fix her face to say, it's too dangerous. The mob is too dangerous. When you took over the mob yourself, that can't ever come out of her mouth again. Ever. I love that Ava told her, bitch, I'm here to help. Like when she told, and then, see, that was a problem that I had. I'm like, Ava said that she had connections. Still, I'm like, why didn't those connections help Nicholas with Alexis? Because that pissed me off that Nicholas pretty much screwed with the church's money by snatching up that old lady and giving her back to Cyrus. I liked that. I liked the fact that Maxie and Peter have their own agendas. Like, this is the Maxie that we know. Like, when Maxie was stupid over Peter, that drove me insane. You see that Maxie is placating Peter and scheming, and she has this whole plan mapped out to get little Louise away from him. And you see Peter is just like, Peter is pretending to go along. At first I wasn't too sure if Peter just wanted the baby. When Peter told that nurse, me and Louise and Maxie are going to be absconded away so we can be away from these people, I was like, oh shit, here we go. I like that. I like the fact that Brooklyn is screwing Valentine over. No pun intended there. I love that. I like the fact that Brooklyn is trying to right the wrong. What cracked me up to hell was that she called Tracy for help, and Tracy hung that phone up. Tracy was like, look, bitch, I'm already on the run for Alexis' ass. I ain't getting involved with your crazy shit. And Tracy didn't dime her out. Like, Tracy is like, you're on your own, kid. I like that. I like that part. The Trina thing, here's my grievance with the Trina Portia Jordan issue. It felt like a special thing, after school special, like when whenever it was Black History Month back in the day, they would always cram all these things in. You'd have the occasional bigot come around, and then you'd have the white savior rah, 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 to the little racist protecting the Black person. It felt kind of like that. My thing with GH is, if you're going to go there, because they had TJ and Molly talking about systemic racism in Sean. Mm-hmm. You didn't see anything else about that. No. Then you had Elizabeth, the Cam thing, and Cam, what happened with Cam, and then you had Jordan talking about it. I adored Jordan saying that she wanted to tell Elizabeth, you better take that tone down a notch and remember who you're talking to. I wanted to see that.
Yes.
That's the part that I'm missing. I wanted to see her tell Elizabeth, you better zip it, bitch. I wanted her, even if she can't say bitch, but I wanted her to check Elizabeth, because Elizabeth came in there. I'm like, who's the police, the police commissioner here? Because say what you will about Mac Scorpio, if that was Mac still in the police commissioner's role, he would have checked Elizabeth and told her to sit her ass out in that waiting room and to behave herself. If it was Robert when he was the police commissioner, Robert wouldn't have put up with shit. He would have told her calmly, shut it down, or I'm a revoke you visiting this boy. If it was Anna when she was the chief of police, Anna and the police commissioner, Anna probably would have mushed Elizabeth in a table and tell her in a cold voice, you need to calm down. You know Anna don't play. The fact that Jordan just had to sit there and take that, it annoyed me. I really, really liked for Scotty to say to Elizabeth, to say to Cam and Elizabeth privately, you know how lucky you are? Because I mentioned Scotty because me and someone was talking about that, and they said that Scotty should have said that. And I agree, because I mentioned Scotty because Scotty's been a DA, and Scotty's also been a private attorney. So he sees both sides. I wish that Scotty, in the tenure that he is in, would have told Cam, do you know how lucky you are? You could have been a statistic. You could have been in a body bag for what you did. And to let Cam know he needed to check himself. And I really wish he would have told Elizabeth, you need to chill out. Like, it just frustrated me that they had these conversations. And
it can't be just the Black people having the conversations. There's got to be white characters that are doing it too.
I'm hoping that Trina's message got through to Cameron. The look on his face was like, it never crossed my mind that that's actually a thing.
It probably did, but again, before Luke came in, I want Elizabeth to know TJ didn't get that. When they brought up what happened to TJ, I want Elizabeth to still be in her feelings. I want that to happen. And I want Jordan to fucking check her feelings and to tell her, look, bitch, my son didn't get that afforded to him when they thought that he stole. Your son pulled a gun out on me, and my officers were in their right. They could have shot his ass and were in their rights to do so. But because I know you, I was able to talk your crazy ass son down. Like, that just bothered me. It still does. Like, if you're going to go there, GH, I want you to go there. I do not want you to make, like, to do like a month-long episode because I feel as though other Black writers need to be included there. They have just one sole writer there that's Black, but they need to, if you're going to do it, go there.
Mike, what was the highlights for you at General Hospital this last week?
Okay, just quickly going over what Josh and Jillian said. I liked a lot more General Hospital than I thought I would. The weak spot for me is Nixon Falls. As Josh pointed out, I think Nina wanted time with Wiley. I'm not sure why Michael hasn't reached out or she hasn't reached out and said, you know, Jack's found me and told me all, got up, whatever. So that's totally the weak point of the show. Carly owning her power makes me like almost start to like Carly a little bit better. And that's kind of been a hard thing for me to deal with watching this show. I feel like when the time comes and Sonny comes back, she ain't going to be willing to give it up for him. And that will be really awesome if she can stick with that. What else did I like? I kind of like that Peter's embracing his bad side too. And like Jillian said, that Maxie has her own agenda and Britt and Jason is oddly hot. I mean, I don't really care for Jason, but Britt, I love Britt. So I don't think there's anything she could do. Dante? Ooh, Dominic Sumpragna with that haircut and shower.
Yes.
And shade.
Mm-hmm.
Looking
him
fine.
Him and Brooklyn should be together.
Yes.
He and Brooklyn should be together. Sam. I'm not feeling that with him and Sam. No.
And I'm also hoping that the conversations that Jordan, Portia, and Trina had with Cameron and the like will also kind of, it's a start. It's a start to acknowledge that there's inequities and just keep playing it forward. You got Sean in prison for something he didn't do with Alexis. So I just think that maybe there's
in
a
the
bigger
co-ed jail.
Yep. And a bigger, this is the, there's a bigger tidal wave behind it, I hope. So yeah, no, I was pretty happy with GH and Days for the most part. CBS is struggling with.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bowe. Mike is at MPJ24. And Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Ciao.
Andiamo.